And our title for the Kaoni meditation of our retreat is On Heaven. After all, that is what the church on earth is all about. A preparation for the church in heaven. We speak correctly of the church militant. The important thing is to remember that we've all been conscripted. No age limit. And we also correctly speak of the church triumphant, provided we have valiantly fought against the three deadly enemies of our salvation, the world, the flesh, and the devil. If there is one truth of our Catholic faith on which the Church is clear, it is that our existence on earth is a prelude, a preparation, and a condition for our existence after the body dies and the soul enters eternity. Our plan for this conference is to do four things. First, quote from the solemn definition of Pope Benedict XII from the 14th century, defining the beatific vision. Then, what the Church teaches about the meaning of the beatific vision. Then, what the Church teaches about our knowledge and love of creatures in our heavenly kingdom. Then, the social joys of heaven. And, of course, we have to close with a prayer. With apologies from quoting this source book, I have other translations available, but having worked hard on this one, I can use it safely. It was Pope Benedict XII, who shortly after he ascended the papacy, decided to make no less than five solemn, infallible definitions on heaven. The background is part of the Church's history on what occasion this. The fact is, we have these definitions. I quote, definition number one. We define that since the passion and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the souls in heaven have seen and do see the divine essence with an intuitive and even face-to-face vision. without interposition of any creature in the function of the object seen. Rather, the divine essence immediately manifests itself to them plainly, clearly, openly. Definition number two. We also define that those who see the divine essence in this way receive great joy from it, and that because of this vision and enjoyment, the souls of those who have already died and are truly blessed and possess life and eternal rest. Definition three. We further define how the souls of those who die hereafter will see the same divine essence and will enjoy it before the general judgment. Definition number four. We define how this vision of the divine essence and the enjoyment of it do away with the acts of faith and hope of these souls, insofar as faith and hope are theological virtues in the proper sense. Fifth, and we define that after this intuitive and face-to-face vision has or will have begun for these souls, the same vision and enjoyment remains continuously without any interruption or abolition of the vision and enjoyment, and will remain up till the final judgment and from then on forever. As you see, the church is solicitous that nobody will be deprived of the beatific vision, provided, of course, they deserve it. Now, the Church's explanation of the beatific vision. The two words, beatific and vision, are now part of the Church's infallible teaching, where vision refers to the mind of those in heaven, and beatific refers to their wills. In other words, the souls in heaven will see God Himself, and from seeing God, the will then will be perfectly satisfied. Notice too, in the definition, we are told that this beatific vision, once begun, will never end. It will continue for all the endless ages of eternity. one of the finest biblical foundations for the beatific vision is found in the letter of St. John. To be exact, First Letter of John, chapter 3, verse 2, says the Apostle, "We are already children of God, but what we are to be in the future has not yet been revealed. All we know is that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he really is. And that is the church's own explanation. Beatific vision being the ecclesiastical, though infallible, teaching and synonym for seeing God as he really is. This side of heaven, we can speak of knowing God, knowing about God, knowing of God. We can even say that we know God, but always, always our knowledge is through some creature, including the creature of our own mind. Here is this beatific vision constitutes the essential happiness of heaven. During this conference, we shall, because I think we should, see some of the other joys of heaven by anticipation, keep us going on earth. But the quintessential joy is seeing him, in John's words, as he really is. Or the language of St. Paul, knowing God as he knows us. What then are we to make of this, call it cryptic language, about the beatific vision? It is, first of all, intuitive, which means seeing God in heaven is not from reflecting on the things that God created. Seeing God face to face, seeing him intuitively, does not mean reasoning to God, and reasoning not only to his existence, but also to his attributes. The intuitive vision of God is far more, and the knowledge we acquire about God, and not just from reason, but also from faith, is nevertheless a knowledge in which there is necessarily an interposition of inherit of ideas. There is no other way on earth that we can know God except what else having ideas about God. But not in heaven. See that again. In heaven, we will not see God through ideas, but see Him directly. Even more directly than we know ourselves here on earth. And that is a very immediate and direct knowledge. Because on earth, even our self-knowledge is necessarily, well, what else? Ideational knowledge, ideas, conceptual knowledge. We've got ideas about ourselves, concepts, thoughts. But not in heaven. No thoughts between the essence of God and the minds of those who behold Him, as the Scriptures tell us, face to face. This, seeing God in the beatific vision, is immediate. And I repeat, the immediacy is not only, and this is very intimate, not only the intimacy of our own self-knowledge. What could be more intimate on earth? Right? Deeper. We shall see Him, in St. John's words, as He really is, with no thoughts, no ideas, interposing between God and our minds. Moreover, the Church has further defined, and there have been other definitions. The classic one was the one that I read to you from Pope Benedict XII. There have, however, been further definitions of the joys of heaven, and one that is especially relevant for us is that it is not just God in His nature, it is the three persons of God. We shall behold the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and enter into an intimacy with the divine family of the Holy Trinity, participating as a result in the very joys that the Holy Trinity, each person has, from the knowledge and mutual love that the divine community has and has had from all eternity. One more observation before we go on. It has further been infallibly taught by the Church that although the intuitive, face-to-face vision of God He is possessed, and as a consequence, enjoyed by all the saints and angels in heaven. Nevertheless, no two human beings will enjoy God equally. It will depend on the merits we have gained here on earth. Now, merit, as you know, first depends on the measure of grace that a person has, which measure depends on the bounty of God. But for our purpose, the degree of beatitude in heaven will differ according to the measure that each one of us, and no two will have the same degree of beatitude on the measure that we have cooperated with God's grace. And let's be sure, God is absolutely just, and the first object of the divine justice is not his punishing sinners. No. The first object of the justice of God is in rewarding those who love him. Every act of patience, every act of kindness, every act of humility, you name the virtue, may take only a split second here on earth. God remembers that, and we shall be rewarded, hear it, for all eternity. Because even for a moment here on earth, we have been more patient than, say, we might have been. It's all good supernatural business. We go on. Our next area of reflection, in heaven we shall have knowledge and love of creatures, keeping always in mind the fundamental, quintessential beatitude of heaven is seeing the face of God. Here I've got, I thought I'd classify these creatures. First, the knowledge and love of other intelligent beings. The mutual company of the glorified Christ. Christ is man, of course. His humanity is a creature. Our Lady, the angels, and saints. And believe me, there are some big surprises in store for us. Oh, you're here too. Yes. And what joy to be told, thanks. You helped me to get here. Thanks. In heaven, there'll be the exchange of ideas. We won't just sit around looking at each other. Because no one is bored in heaven. And that would be boring. The sharing of experiences. The expressions of recognition. Not having been there, I'm not sure how, say, the saints shake hands in heaven now before they've got a pair of hands. There must be some way in which they can exchange their mutual recognition. Next classification, what I call created gifts. The gifts we have had and enjoyed on earth. As I've told my students over the years, learn all you can on earth. You'll be that much smarter in heaven. And all my students appreciated it. The mind knows. And in heaven, you'll have capacity for knowing beyond anything you're able to know here on earth. The will. The will is made in sequence to desire. Next step, choose. Next step, keep choosing, otherwise known as love. All of this. The capacity for loving beyond anything we are capable of doing here on earth. And then it bears emphasis and would make a retreat all by itself. What the New Testament calls the new heaven and the new earth. God will annihilate nothing which he created. The Rocky Mountains. What shape they're going to be in, what they'll look like, don't ask me. The sun, moon, and stars. The oceans. The forests, the rivers, somewhere in my files I have an article written by a believing Catholic. Yes, can it imagine that her pet dog will not be in heaven with her? No, I don't believe in the resurrection of animal bodies. Don't misunderstand me. But somehow, in ways beyond our ken now, we believe that God will annihilate nothing. Provide our eyes to be able to see, our ears to hear, our hands to touch, our lips to taste, over the years. I've never tired telling others because I tell myself. Whatever sacrifices, say, our consecrated life requires of us. Our consecrated chastity, the sacrifice of what married people may legitimately enjoy. No marriage in heaven. Well, there will be. And St. John's Apocalypse couldn't be clearer. Symbolic language in almost 2,000 years of commentary. The reward. The reward awaiting those who had sacrificed. And these are the legitimate joys of the body. God will reward us. None of our finest expectations and fondest dreams here on earth. I thought I should quote in this section on created gifts, St. John Chrysostom. He is talking about heaven. Says John Chrysostom, "There will be true rest, where all sorrow, sadness, and grief have passed away, where no more cares or labor, anguish or fears of mind are present, but only the wish to please God is filled with every joy. In heaven are all peace, pleasure, happiness, goodness, meekness, justice, and charity. No longer any competitive spirit of envy, no sickness or death of body, no prospect of death of soul, no darkness or night of spirit, but all is endless day and light and serenity. In heaven, we shall never be weary, never get bored, but always be on the alert for more," unquote, John Chrysostom. I like that. And one more section. This is on the social joys of heaven. Remember, as we began this retreat, that the church is a society. And just as the church is a society here on earth, so the church triumphant is a society in heaven. Regarding these social joys, divine revelation constantly speaks of heaven as a kingdom, basileia, almost every page of the Gospels, kingdom, kingdom of heaven, especially in St. Matthew. Heaven is spoken of in Revelation as a city, indeed the city on high, as the New Jerusalem. In the language of the church, heaven is the triumphant, mystical body of Christ. In heaven we shall be together in a celestial community. First of all, living in the company of those whom we have known personally on earth. My favorite way of writing letters of condolence. Whatever the name of the person whom I'm writing. Our faith tells us, I write, that in God's own time we shall be reunited with those we have known and loved here on earth, never again to be separated for all eternity. Again, in heaven, we'll be living in the company of those whom on earth we had never known personally. Oh, but we heard about, or we read about. Or again, in heaven, we shall come to know people whom we have never before even knew existed. Complete strangers. Oh, until we meet in the halls of heaven. In heaven, each person retains his or her own identity. We shall be individuals, distinct and unique. And our differences will be no burden to other persons. And there what we call, each of us has our names, their quirks, their eccentricities, their oddities, their idiosyncrasies. A standard dictionary has at least a dozen normal synonyms for what we don't like about other people. For the simple reason that they are different from us. We being the center of the universe, everyone else is eccentric. The differences will not only not be painful, but we will glorify God in His infinity as reflected in the variety of His creatures. Those two words, by the way, go together. Infinity in God and variety in creatures. in heaven, no two will have the same joy. But here I thought I'd quote this time from St. Anselm. They've got to go to heaven to experience this. We're talking about heaven, not earth. Love is so strong in heaven that the fact that someone else has what you lack, would you believe it, makes you more happy. Quote St. Anselm. If anyone else whom you love as much as you love yourself possess the same blessedness, your joy would be doubled because you would rejoice as much for that other person as yourself. This is heaven, by the way. If two or more have the same joy, you will rejoice as much for each one as for yourself. If you love each as you love yourself. Thus, in that perfect love of the innumerable angels and saints, where none will have any less love for others than for himself. Everyone will rejoice for each of the others as for himself. Unquote Anselm. Get the logic. Much of the sorrow here on earth is a result of a hidden, oh, very hidden envy. In heaven, no envy. On the contrary, for someone to have more than I will rejoice in that person's possessing what I don't have, as though it were my own. There is only happiness for each person. It is beyond our human reckoning here on earth. But will be a veritable reality in heaven. Just a short closing prayer. Mother of eternal life, you gave us Jesus, who is our hope of heaven. Obtain for us from him the grace to always live in his friendship and die in his grace. Keep our eyes always fixed on heaven, our everlasting home. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.